Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Are you a pet food snob? Do you think that people who don't feed their dogs and cats what you consider a quality diet don't care about their animals? Or that they just aren't as well educated as you about their animals' nutritional needs? These questions popped into my mind when I read about the work of Priya Fielding Singh at Stanford University. Although Dr. Fielding Singh's research looks at the factors that contribute to poor diets in children, much of her material seems relevant to the human companion animal bond food equation, too. That's no surprise because so many people do consider their dogs and cats members of their families, and specifically, one of their kids. That food equals love probably began in those ancient days when those first humanoids attempted to make a life for themselves in a new environment. More recently, food shortages in the Great Depression that began in 1929 and took another hit during World War II undoubtedly also helped shape how we think about food today. For almost two decades, the majority of the population couldn't get enough of what they considered the right kind of quality food, even if they could pay for it. Consequently, certain foods took on a higher emotional charge than others. My kid's grandfather lived through this era and spoke of his rare but most prized treat during those years, a small piece of cake slathered with lard tinted yellow to look like butter. So much tastier than the fruits and veggies growing in the backyard garden. The link between foods that carry the highest emotional charge and the healthiest foods always has been tenuous at best. And often the foods that carry the highest food equals love charge continue to be high in carbohydrates and fats. But that was then and this is now, you might be thinking. But food insecurity still is now for approximately 1 in 8 Americans, including 13 million children. Food insecurity is academic political jargon that translates not having access to enough food. But not just any food. It's a lack of access to healthy food. And if food insecurity creates problems for millions of Americans, you can be pretty sure it creates problems for any pet dogs and cats in that population, too. The fate of all these people living with food insecurity led to the rise of another food-related catchphrase, food deserts. Food deserts were those locations where people couldn't get quality food. Specifically, fruits and vegetables, whole grains, and other healthy fare, even if they wanted them. According to this philosophy, increasing access to these foods to those in need would solve the problem. Only it didn't. This approach only improved diet by a measly 9%. And I suspect that the same results occurred when nutritionally balanced commercial diets were made accessible to dogs and cats living in pet food deserts, too. While these findings puzzled other researchers, Fielding Singh's work focused on the psychological factors that influence what people feed their kids. I found many similarities between what she discussed in her article, A Taste of Inequality, Food's Symbolic Value Across the Socioeconomic Spectrum, and what I've observed when it comes to companion animal feeding, too. First, I did some quick calculations that compared the average cost of big box store brand dog foods and the higher end premium commercial diets available from those same sources. The low-end costs were roughly 42 cents per pound compared to a little over 250 a pound, and the cost for commercially available specialty diets, such as grain-free, organic, raw, etc., could be much higher. Next, I thought about all my clients on limited income over the years who loved their pets. Like those feeding themselves and their kids on limited income, those with pets in a similar predicament aren't stupid. They know the difference between a healthy diet and an unhealthy diet. Before you think or say something self-righteous like, "Well, if they can't afford to properly feed their animals, they shouldn't have them," permit me to say that to some extent, not feeding our pets healthy food really isn't about money either. In 2017, an estimated 60% of the owned cats and 56% of the owned dogs in this country were overweight or obese. Chances are the majority of these animals' owners weren't food insecure, and many of their animals were eating something other than the proper amount of even the healthiest cat and dog food, too. All the parents interviewed by Fielding Singh wanted their kids to eat a healthy diet with lots of fruits and veggies. They gave their kids forbidden treats because of what those treats represented to the kids and to them. The kids liked these foods because they were treats. Despite their limited budgets and resources that ruled out those other benefits that more affluent people could give their kids to make them happy, the low-income families could give their kids ice cream or cookies instead. In other words, they also could make their kids happy, even if only in this small way. If anything, this belief is even more deeply entrenched when it comes to giving treats to dogs and cats. It's not about whether these are healthy or not, or whether we're feeding too much of these unhealthy foods. Neither matters because it's how we compensate for all the things we believe make our animals' lives less ideal than we think they should be. We feel guilty because the cat, confined to our home, so obviously wants to go outside. We give him a treat, and then another, and another, depending on how inadequate we feel for keeping him inside. Or we share those weekend treats we buy or prepare for ourselves to celebrate the end of a grueling week at work. I suspect that, if most of us were honest, it's knowing that these treats are so unhealthy and are so forbidden that makes them so special, at least at the time. But when a friend we haven't seen for months stops by and exclaims, "Wow, Reggie is really packing on the pounds," that changes things. Or the veterinarian refers to Georgette as a 9, and we realize he's talking about Georgette's body condition score on the chubby side of a svelte 5, and not her lovely eyes. For those interested in doing a fascinating companion animal behavior and bond exercise, try this. Keep a log of everything you feed your dog or cat for 2 weeks. Note what the food is, how much you fed, why you offered it, and how your pet responded. Don't fudge, and don't judge. Next, tally up the results and ask yourself what they tell you about the role food plays in your bond with this animal. Would your dog act any differently if you took him for a walk, or you massaged your cat's ears rather than gave him something to eat? Would your pet love you any less? What about you? Does giving your dog or cat treats carry more of an emotional charge for you? Does it make you feel better about yourself? Not to worry. This is a no right or wrong answers quiz. Just one to increase your awareness of the role food and certain kinds of food may play in your relationship with your animal. But if problems do arise later that require a change in feeding practices, you'll be able to resolve them more quickly. You'll know the human and animal emotional, as well as the canine or feline nutritional needs, what your feeding practices fulfill. And you can take a mind-body bond approach to helping your pet make a smooth transition to a physically and emotionally more healthy diet.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.